Great. Good evening. Chris prayed. We're in Mark 12, so keep that open. And let me take you back to 1993, classic Oscar snub film, tragedy, comedy, wrapped into one, Mrs. Doubtfire. Many classic moments in this film, but one moment towards the start, Robin Williams, I forget what his character's name was, apart from Mrs. Doubtfire, Robin Williams has lost his job, he's come home, he's been a fairly neglectful father and husband, he's come home and he ends up, maybe as an act of guilt, throwing an impromptu birthday party for one of his children. And he has a lot of silly fun and they love it. He's looking like a fool and joining in with them and they love it and it does look a lot of fun. But he hasn't really picked it because he thought his wife Sally Field was not going to come home from work until later, but she comes home at exactly the wrong moment. She comes home when they're doing this. She's shocked. It's like the music kind of stops and he just gives a sheepish "what's up, Miranda?" His moment where he was glorying in impressing his children and having fun with them and looking like an awesome dad even though he lost his job and hadn't really spent much time with them. His moment in glory suddenly turns into shame because the exact wrong person that he did not want to be seeing that moment came in and saw it. The last person he wanted to see him doing this, and his glory turned into shame in a moment, and he's sheepish. It's a very uncomfortable situation, whether you've been through that with a parent or a teacher or a boss. Very uncomfortable moments. Well, I'm somewhat sorry to say we're going to go through that uncomfortable experience tonight. The uncomfortable experience, as we see from Mark 12, is Jesus is watching. And that sounds scary, but it's good. It's good for us to go through that, to think about it. We're in safe hands as we rely on Jesus' help as we go through this and trust in him. So we're going to be looking at some awkward things. You may have picked up from the reading, there's some awkward topics here which we may need to talk about. Money. I'm sorry, this is a warning. And there's another awkward topic, you see it in verse 40. Jesus says, very strong language, end of verse 40, these teachers of the law, for a show, make lengthy prayers. These men will be punished most severely. So it's talking about money, and it's talking about going on too long. So I'll try and keep it short. I'm full of dinner anyway, so I'll try and keep moving. But some awkward, uncomfortable things for us, as we see. As Chris mentioned before, last week we saw, as Jesus was in conflict, we saw love in the light of the Lord. Tonight we're seeing wrong love in the light of the wrong Lord. Where have we been? We're at the end of a series, Mark 11 to 12. Jesus has been in conflict. And I don't know about you, I found it very entertaining to see this boxing match, or perhaps I should say royal rumble, between Jesus and the various groups which we have seen come before him. We've had the priests who've asked Jesus about authority along with the elders and the teachers of the law. We've had the Pharisees come and ask Jesus about politics along with the Herodians. And we had the Sadducees coming and asking him about theology. And each time Jesus has bat them away with a really good answer and they've gone back to the edge and tagged someone else in and someone else has come in and tried again. Last week we saw one of the scribes come back in, one of the teachers of the law. They tapped back in and one of them came up with a question of which commandment is the greatest one. Jesus gives a good answer. Teacher of the law, the scribe, he's impressed. Jesus seems to give him a somewhat kind of commendation, sort of. He says, you're not far from the kingdom of God. And yet, it is his group, the scribes or teachers of the law, that Jesus then decides to go on full frontal assault. He picks them out personally and attacks them blow by blow. And that's how this conflict, this royal rumble, is finishing tonight. We see it in verses 38 to 40. Jesus says, watch out for the teachers of the law. He's just, and we saw it last week, verses 35 to 37, had a go at the teachers of the law for their reading of scripture. Their Messiah was not big enough. He's had a go at their theology, now he's having a go at their practice. Watch out for them. And as I said, we're looking at wrong love in the light of the wrong Lord. Wrong love in the light of the wrong Lord. We see this wrong love, as I say, in verses 38 to 40, as Jesus says, watch out for the teachers of the law. But come down to verse 41, that's also connected in. Jesus has finished the conflict, the blow by blow. He's gone and sat down for a breather, and he's watching people put money in a treasury box. And many rich people are throwing in large amounts. And it seems to be very importantly connected to what has just happened. So verses 38 to 41, we have wrong love in the light of the wrong Lord. So what's going on? Jesus says, watch out for the teachers of the law. Watch out for the scribes. What do? Verse 38, they like to walk around in flowing robes and be greeted with respect in the marketplaces. They have the most important seats in the synagogues and at places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses and for a show make lengthy prayers. These men will be punished most severely. And then he sits down opposite the place where the offerings are put, and he sees many rich people throwing in large amounts. What are they doing? Well, they're showing off. They're showing off. They're making a song and dance about everything. They're showing off in their position. Dressing importantly, and as they wander through the marketplaces, they expect or demand everyone to come flocking to them as a little fan club so that they can speak to them, honor them. And it basically reminds me of scenes from a Godfather as he's just wandering through the marketplace and extending his blessings to whoever he sees. Now, that is this thing that the scribes seem to have a thing that they love to do. Long robes, walking through, and everyone greets them. They're the most important person in the marketplace. They're the most important person whenever they sit down, whether they sit down in the synagogue or at the dinner table. They have the most important seat, the best seat in the house. They are the most important person there. They're showing off in their position. They are important. They're self-important. They're showing off with their religion. As we saw, when they're there in the synagogue, the meeting place, as they meet for worship and reading scripture, they're sitting in the best seat, the most important seat. And when they pray, verse 40, they make lengthy prayers for a show. They're showing off with their prayer, praying in such a way, long and apparently holy, well-informed, theological, scriptural prayer that really impresses everyone who hears it. They're showing off with their religion. And then as Jesus sits down and he looks at the giving box, the offertory box, and he sees rich people coming past, these rich people are showing off with their giving. As Jesus is sat down there, he's not the only person watching. Everyone is there passing through, they're watching. And they're making little judgments on whatever sound drops into that box. A couple of light clinks, and just a little bit of money, but a good dose of heavy of gold coins, that is something quite impressive. That is a generous giver. And so they're going in and they're outdoing each other, throwing in more and more money. They're showing off with their giving, their position, their religion, their giving. Now, many people don't really have a problem with showing off, but as Jesus says, it's actually quite dangerous. It's quite dangerous. They're showing off, and they are being watched by Jesus, who is the Lord of all. And we'll think about that in a moment. But you may have heard this, and you may have heard of robes and most important seats and showing off with giving. And you may think of things that you've seen before, because it's very prevalent in our society and in churches. You may think of the ritualistic regalia of some high church, or you may think of the excess of a charity auction. But we can think about that, that's fine. But as Dave calls them, we don't want this to be an elbow sermon where we're thinking about how this applies to someone else. We've got to think about this passage and how is it our problem? How do we live out this showing off? And we can think about that for a time. But yes, theirs is wrong love in the light of the wrong Lord. Why is it wrong love in the light of the wrong Lord? It's in the light of the wrong Lord. Who is their Lord? Think about it. Well, as they're wandering into the marketplace, demanding to be greeted and treated with respect, who do you think they think is the most important person in the area? As they sit down in the best seat in the house, who do you think they think deserves the most honor? Yes, thank you. And as they're giving a very lengthy prayer, who do you think they're praying to? Perhaps themselves, perhaps the people around them, so that the people around them will go, yes, they're very holy. They are well informed. They know scripture. They know God. They're at one with God. They're praying to other people. Who is their Lord? Their Lord is himself. Yes. Their Lord is himself. Now, obviously, these scribes, these teachers of the law, if you were to ask them that and challenge them on that, they would definitely say, no, our Lord is God. We have one Lord, one God, on a superficial level. But if they were honest with themselves, if they had the clarity of seeing themselves as Jesus can clearly see them, and as Jesus can clearly see us, better than we can see ourselves, they would know that their Lord is themselves. They're showing off because of self-love. And as I say, people don't really necessarily see a problem. It's good to show off. It's good to love yourself. That's what reality TV is all for, showing off. But Jesus is saying these men will be punished most severely. It is dangerous. And as we read this passage and see things through the eyes of Jesus, as he sits down and watches a group of rich people throwing in money to demonstrate their glory, how small and petty does it seem when you realize who Jesus is who's watching? Jesus, the Lord of all. Jesus, who a few days before this event was brought into the city of Jerusalem with great herald and proclamation as the king in the line of David. Jesus, who is the Messiah, the one who created everything, who rules over everything, who sustains everything. And he's sitting there watching some people gloat about how much money they're putting into a box. It's just petty. It is small. Someone's walking through dressing to impress. And here is Jesus watching, knowing what they're truly like on the inside. He is the Lord of all. People are making lengthy prayers with their words in their mouth, and Jesus is the one who can hear what they're saying in their heart. He is the Lord of all. It is wrong love in the light of a wrong Lord. And it is more than petty. It is dangerous and harmful, and we see that because it is wrong love. And there's a line that we haven't really looked at yet, verse 40. They devour widows' houses. They devour widows' houses. Self-love, having the wrong Lord, leads to harming others in a process of achieving your self-gain. It's not a harmless trait. It hurts other people. Now, how were the teachers of the law, these scribes, how were they devouring widows' houses? Well, there could be a few options. It appears that perhaps these guys, as a bit of a job, they were lawyers. Now, there's nothing wrong with being a lawyer, but it is a job, like many other jobs, that can be very easily used for self-gain and for abusing others. And there's a great contrast between a teacher of the law and a widow. Teacher of the law is very important in that society. A widow is not important in that society. A teacher of the law is needed in that society. A widow is not needed. She is a burden on that society. A teacher of the law is knowledgeable and can teach. And in that society, a widow is most likely unlearned. A teacher of the law has power. A widow is powerless. A great contrast. And these teachers of the law are devouring widows' houses, exploiting their position, abusing them. Wrong love in the light of the wrong Lord. Jesus' language is very strong. These men will be punished most severely. We'll think a bit more about how we may be challenged by that, but let's now look at love in the light of the Lord. Let's look at this widow, verses 42 to 44. A poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins, worth only a few cents. And listen to what Jesus says. It's a beautiful commendation. It's amazing. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all that she had to live on." Jesus, who sat there watching, no one else will have noticed this widow coming past and dropping in a couple of coins. Jesus is saying she has given more than everyone. And that is very countercultural, not just back then, but even today. We live in a society where if you give money, you'll get a plaque, your name put on a plaque somewhere. In a hospital, in a church, in a building. If you give more, it'll be a better plaque. We have our church camper and the YMCA building in Wainui, and in the foyer there's this board, you may have seen it, with a list of names. And the higher you go up the boards, the more money they've given. I keep recognizing this because it's got John Simpson on the top of the board. This widow would come nowhere near this board. She's not giving hundreds of thousands of dollars. She's giving a couple of coins. And Jesus is putting her at the top of that board. He is saying she has given more than all of the rest. What an amazing commendation. So why is it true? How does that work? First of all, her giving there is kind of somewhat unnecessary. She shouldn't have done this, or at least she shouldn't have had to do this. It takes us back to verse 40. What does it say about the teachers of the law? They devour widows' houses. And here is a poor widow coming along and giving all that she has to the temple tax. Here is a widow who has nothing. And you've had all these rich people throwing in as much as they could to show off. And here is a widow, poor and suffering. Why is she still like that? Where is that money going? Is she being cared for? Is she being looked after? She shouldn't have had to be in this position. But she is. And the fact that she is, that makes them look worse and it makes her look better. But more than that, her giving there, it is self-denying. Look what Jesus says at the end of verse 44. Trust that he's right on this. She, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on. This widow has given everything that she had into that box. She hasn't kept it for herself, she's given it. Her love truly is love in the light of the Lord, as we thought about last week. Love that puts God and others before herself. Her concern for where this money is going and what it's being used for and for the God that she is honoring with it and the people, her brothers and sisters, she is honoring with it is greater than her concern for herself. And she's giving everything she has, which is only 2 copper coins. Her giving is self-denying. Her giving is liberal. It is free. It is excessive. How much money did she have? She had 2 small copper coins. How much money did she give? 2 small copper coins. She didn't just give one. She didn't put an IOU in to say, when I've got more, I'll give some. She gave it all then. Freely, liberally, generously. As Jesus said, all she had to live on. That's all she had. You compare with the rich people at this point. Jesus says they gave out of their wealth. But she has done what giving truly is. Giving is a risk. It's a risk because you have to lose something in order to give. And these rich people are not risking anything as they give. They're giving strategically. They're giving in order to compete. She is giving freely in the light of her Lord. They're not denying themselves, they're promoting themselves. They're not giving liberally, they're giving strategically. She, because of her God. Her God who loves freely, who gave us his Son as a ransom for us at great cost. He loves like that, she loves like that. And that is a wonderful example. That is love in the light of the Lord. But what does that mean for us? We have seen these teachers of the law, we have seen the rich people, we have seen the poor widow. How can we watch out for these teachers of the law as Jesus tells us to? How can we watch out that we are not like these teachers of the law? How can we try to be like this poor widow? Well, maybe a few questions to finish off. First question is, who is your Lord? Who is your Lord? Because if you have the wrong Lord, then your love will be the wrong love. You may want to push me on that, we can talk about that after, but if you have the wrong Lord, your love will be, in the end, the wrong love. Who is your Lord? And do you want to be caught out, like Robin Williams at the start and Mrs. Doubtfire, too soon, when your apparent glory of trying to impress other people is immediately turned to shame because you know who's watching? You know that the one who's watching knows better, expects better. Who is your Lord? And so, question for you is, who is watching? Who is watching as you are tempted, as I am tempted, to show off? I could give some examples of times when I have shown off, maybe in a churchy sense, let's think. a teenager singing songs in church, I was very keen on people knowing the fact that I didn't need to look at the screen to sing the words of the songs. I just knew them. And they could look at me and go, oh yes, he knows his stuff. He's a solid man. He might not sound very good, but at least he knows the words of the songs. I was not singing to God, was I? Or I could think of a prayer as I'd pray at prayer meetings, and I'm making sure that I give, it's almost a competition to get the loudest amen as possible by the end of that prayer. If I formulate it well, if I'm really well-informed in current events, if I show my knowledge of the Bible and sound passionate, then I'll get a good amen. Who am I praying to at that point? I'm praying to the people around me to impress them. Who is watching? We must remember the one audience, Jesus, who is sat watching these people. He is the one that we, it really matters what he thinks of us. One who really does see us. And living this out, applying this, as a guy called J.C. Ryle once said, we have to do this in a way that does not leave us cowardly silent. So you can't just say, I'm not going to pray in prayer meetings, or I'm not going to give money because I'm afraid of showing off by praying at prayer meetings and giving money. That's not how we can apply that. Silence is not the answer. Now just pray to God. Pray to the right Lord. Give to the right Lord. And it's actually truly liberating to know that Jesus is the one watching. It's a great comfort because he knows. He knows as he looks at this widow. He knows as he looks at the rich people. He knows what your intentions are. It doesn't matter what anyone else thinks. You don't have to impress them. Jesus knows. He cares. He loves you. That is a great comfort. But it is also a great challenge. Jesus knows. As Jesus saw this widow giving, he knew what she was giving and what she was not holding back. As you saw the rich people giving, he knew what they were giving and he knew what they were holding back. Jesus knows. When you serve, when you love, he knows your heart. He knows what you're holding back. It's very easy for us to think, and a number of us in this position, I will give money when I have money. I don't have money, therefore I don't give. Jesus' widow is a great example to us. Someone who loves freely and liberally, who takes what she has and gives it in the light of her Lord, who has loved us freely and liberally, self-denying. We have a great Lord who knows and watches. May we throw ourselves at him and serve him. Let's pray. Thank you, Father God, so much for our Lord Jesus. Thank you that he does know and see. We pray that we might live in the light of him and love in the light of him. Show a love that is self-denying, that loves freely, liberally. And Father, help us to see where we have been showing off. Help us to repent of that and to remember our one audience, the one God that we serve. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.